In today's gospel, Christ proclaims that we who see him also see the Father. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else, believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the 1520s and 1530s, when the Spanish conquistadors made their way into Mexico and overthrew and conquered the Aztec Empire, they left us all kinds of records about what they saw. And one of the things they described in these documents was that in the center of what is now Mexico City was this huge temple called the Temple Mayor, where the Aztec priests and leaders performed all kinds of rituals. And in the documents the conquistadors claimed that next to this temple were these two huge pillars made entirely of human skulls. Humans that had been sacrificed to the gods by the Aztecs. Now those pillars were no longer there in more recent times, so some historians thought that the conquistadors exaggerated. Yes, the Aztecs had practiced human sacrifice, but not to the extent that the conquistadors had described. They were exaggerating. And then, in 2015, 2018, archaeologists who were excavating around that Temple Mayor found those two pillars. Two huge pillars made entirely of human skulls. So it's clear that the Aztecs had actually been involved in human sacrifice to a great extent. In fact, through other discoveries, it's clear that the Aztecs had a belief in the gods that required them to do human sacrifice. Their cosmology, their understanding of the universe was that the sun god, their sun god, was constantly in a battle with the god of darkness. As the sun moved across the sky, it was chasing the god of darkness, keeping darkness from overrunning the whole world. But in order to do that work, the sun god required, according to the Aztecs, human blood. If the sun god didn't get human blood, the sun god wouldn't be able to continue its fight against darkness, and darkness would ultimately overtake the whole world, and the world would come to an end. Now, we find that kind of belief incredulous. We wonder how the Aztec people would ever have come to believe in that kind of thing, that kind of god. Obviously, they were projecting, they knew some great power existed, they were projecting what their imaginations taught to them about this god, or these gods. So maybe it's an interesting way for us to ask the question, looking at what they believed, why do we believe what we believe about God? Are we sure that we're not projecting out onto the divine our own feelings, our own wishes, our own hopes? How do we know that the God we believe in is truly God, is truly that way, that kind of God? There's only one way we can answer that question. If God has chosen to reveal himself to us, we can't, by our own reasoning, understand God. But if God chooses to reveal himself to us, that's another thing. And we see that even on our own human level, don't we? You can live with somebody in the same house, but if that person doesn't choose to open themselves up to you, to share themselves with you, you'll never know that person. So how much more true is that of God then, who's so far above us? But see, that's exactly today what the gospel teaches us, what Jesus teaches us in the gospel, that God has in fact chosen to reveal himself to us, to show us his true self. And the way he's chosen to do that is in and through Jesus. Jesus says it today, doesn't he? He says, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. When you see me, you see the Father. So whatever we see Jesus doing and saying and acting, that's God showing himself to us in a way we can truly trust and believe. Now, it's very interesting, you know, when you stop to think about it. No other religious leader in the whole history of the world has ever made the claims that Jesus made about himself. Moses, for example, never would have claimed to be God. Moses taught about God. God revealed himself to Moses, to began to reveal himself to the people through the teachings that Moses had. But Moses never claimed to be God. Muhammad, the founder of Islam, called himself the prophet of God. He taught, God revealed to him certain things in the Islamic understanding, but Muhammad never claimed to be divine. The Buddha claimed to be able to reveal the way to happiness, but Buddha never claimed to be divine. Only Jesus makes that claim, that he is in the Father and the Father is in him. And when we see him, we see God. Now imagine, see how powerful that is. Because otherwise, do we really know God? If God doesn't reveal himself some way, and Jesus says, yes, he does, in me. When you see me, you see the Father. And that's terribly important for us. I mean, just take a couple of examples. How do you know, really, that God loves you and cares about you as an individual person? I mean, we live in a world of billions of people. Why should we think that God really cares about any one of us? Why do we believe that? Well, because we see Jesus doing and living in a way that reveals that to us. How many times do we see Jesus stopping for people, individual people, who are nothing to the rest of the world. Remember that wonderful story of Jesus on his way up to Jerusalem, going through Jericho, and that blind beggar on the edge of the crowd, the blind beggar, Bartimaeus, crying out, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." You know, Bartimaeus is not really a name. It means the son of Timaeus. No one knew this man's first name. He was so marginalized that nobody even knew his first name. On the edge of the crowd, they try to quiet him down, shut him up. Jesus stops for him. If he stops for him, that Mr. Nobody, doesn't that show that he stops for you and me too? That every one of us is important? We see it so many times. The woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery, Zacchaeus the tax collector, and we could go on. All these individual people that really have problems, Jesus stops for them because every one of them is precious to the Father. That's what he's revealing, you see. Every one of them is precious to the Father. And we know that, that means we know that we are too. Each one of us is. But we know that because we see Jesus, the Father in Jesus. Second example, what does God do with your sins and my sins? How do we know that God really is merciful and forgiving? Well, again, because of what Jesus shows us. Remember, the woman caught in adultery, I mentioned it before. The man lowered down through the roof. "My son, your sins are forgiven you." Zacchaeus, the tax collector, hated by his own people. "I'll go into your house today, Zacchaeus." You see, our sins, no matter how grave they might be, Jesus shows us that the Father will forgive them if we just want to return home, if we want to come home, we confess, we'll be forgiven. We wouldn't know that if it weren't for Jesus revealing that, God revealing himself to us in Jesus. So today, these words of Scripture are terribly important for us. We know God as best we can know him in this world because he's shown himself to us in Jesus. We're not projecting onto God our hopes and our desires and our fears. We're taking from his own revelation what he tells us about himself. I conclude with a little story some of you might have heard about this little girl, probably 6-7 years old, who one day was laying on the floor of the living room drawing a picture. And she was really hard at it. You know, she was putting everything she had into this. You know, her tongue was sticking out the side of her mouth. She was chomping down. She's working hard. Her mother walks by, and she sees her working there, and she says, "Honey, that's nice. What are you drawing?" The little girl looks up, and she says, "I'm drawing a picture of God." Mother said, "Well, that's very nice." He said, "But you know, honey, nobody really knows what God looks like." Little girl thought about this for a minute and then looked up and said, "They will when I'm done." But that's the point, you see. Jesus draws a picture of God for us. Jesus draws a picture of God so we can know. We can know for sure who God is and who we are to him. May God bless you.